Hallelujah and praise God. I want to thank you for being with us again today. It's been a beautiful day. We live in Branson, Missouri. I don't know how many of you know where that is. It's in the central United States. It's an absolutely beautiful place to live. It's in the middle of the Ozarks. And today was a day when we had a tremendous thunderstorm to wake up to this morning, and the rain gently got slower and slower throughout the day, and by 3-4 o'clock this afternoon it was just about gone, and the sun was just starting to peek out a little bit, although it never did make it all the way. But I watched that rain throughout the day as I studied the Word of the Lord and got before God and prayed for some different things. And the Lord kept reminding me of that rain and of that storm that was going on. And in my office directly in front of me on the desk that I use, I have my computer on one side, a microphone and telephone and everything on the other side. And in the middle I have this nice sized window that looks out over the front yard, and right now looks out over a very beautiful flower garden that was actually started last year. And my married son and his wife finished it this year, and they did an absolutely beautiful job. In fact, they finished it just yesterday. They had both flowers on the ground in front of the house, and then they had many of the flowers hanging from pots from the eaves of the house, and different colors. Every one was a different color. There was never a place where there was two colors in a row. And it was really beautiful. But there was one particular pot that they had hung last night that was beautiful. I mean, it just stuck out. You couldn't miss it. It was I'm no connoisseur of flowers. I couldn't tell you the name of it or anything. But it hung down, and it was a beautiful light powder blue, and it just filled the entire flower pot. And yesterday afternoon, I stood there, and I looked in utter amazement at this flower and how beautiful it was. And I thought to myself, after God made this, he literally had to say to himself, that was a good job. That really turned out nice. I really like the way that turned out. And today, as I was looking at it after last night's horrific storm and trees bending over to the ground, see the damage that was done, and there was very few of those beautiful blue flowers left anymore. In fact, there was very few of the green stems left anymore. Just about everything had blown away during that storm. And the Lord gave me these scriptures, and I began to think about it. And those of you who have your Bibles, would you please open them to the book of James? Those of you who don't have your Bibles, I know you get tired of hearing it, but the Apostle Paul says it's good to remind the brethren. It's good to remind them. So I want to remind you again, please, please don't listen to me. And don't listen to your pastor, don't listen to any man of God, any woman of God, any group that claims to be of God. Listen to God. Go to the Word of the Lord. Check it out. Make sure it's there. Make sure it's not taken out of context. Make sure that it is running throughout, that from Genesis to Revelation, this is the point of the scripture. This is the point of what the Lord is telling us. Make sure that this is consistent. Without that, you're going to get off into all kinds of error. And you have heard me before many times, I'm sure, if you follow this program, literally rant and rave about the doctrine of evil that has invaded the church, the false prophecies, the false teachings. Jesus said that in the end days that they would gather around them a large number of teachers saying what their itching ears wanted to hear, that many would come in his name saying, I am the Christ. He spoke a great deal about the amount of false spirits that would fill the church. The house that has his name on it. That's not the true church. We have two churches. We have the visible church and the invisible church. The visible church is that one down on the corner that has his name on it, the First Church of Jesus Christ or whatever. The invisible church is that church, that group of people who are truly called out, who are truly separated, who are truly living a life of holiness and repentance before God. The word church in itself, the very word, means separation. It means to be called out. It means to be separated. It means to be alone with this group that God has called you together with, this family that he calls the family of God. And that family is the one we have to stay with. That family that has the same beliefs that we do. That family, because the Word tells us that we are to fellowship with those of the same beliefs, with those of the same points that we have, those that have went home and studied the Word and know that that particular point is true. And we need to study that. But if you would, let's go to the book of James, because as you know, I do not believe in entertainment. The church has changed. It no longer teaches, and that is its job to teach. And I hope every pastor out there hears me. It is your job to teach, teach, and then teach some more. It is not your job to bring in the Bay City roller skater rink. It is not your job to bring in the JCs, the BCs, and all the other Cs, and the doctor with all the initials behind his name, and all these other people. Your job is to teach the people of God, the children of God, the Word of the Lord, and to teach it to them correctly. Your job is not to... I was actually at a place one day. This was with my own eyes, my own ears. I was there. The man took three offerings. This is the absolute truth. He took three offerings because he said the first two were not sufficient for him to teach. The first two were not sufficient for him to spend his talents and ability on teaching the Word of God to the people. I've never heard such nonsense in my life. This is a lie out of the pit of hell. To begin with, the Word of God says, freely you have received, now freely give. Freely, freely, freely. Jesus stood up at the temple and told the people that any of them that thirst could come for the water and to come and take it freely. It was free. It was free. The angels fly around the throne and they sing, holy, holy, holy. Not money, money, money. The people believe that the gospel is a means unto financial gain. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, the only ones that are making any money are the ones that are getting you to believe it and send you and have you send in all them big checks to them. I've actually heard this with my own ears. I heard a man say, I know you're broke, I know you're short of money, so this is what you need to do. You need to go down to the bank and you need to take out a mortgage on your house. And you need to send for this set of tapes of mine. They were like $822. I forgot the exact price. And you need to study these tapes, and then you won't have any more days of being broke and bankrupt and all the rest of this nonsense. But you'll have the money that you need. Now, I have heard very few damnable lies as bad as that. But lately, it's getting worse and worse and worse. And I'll tell you the reason for that. The reason for that is, and I've shared this many times, we are no longer looking for the last days. We are looking at the last days. Thus, we have had the former rain, and now we are having the latter rain. We are experiencing the latter rain. We're living in the latter rain. The problem with that is this. The latter rain is causing the grain to grow. Thank God for that. But forget not that same latter rain is also causing the weeds and the tares to grow. And that means that the cults are growing, the cults are coming up. You can come out with any kind of ludicrous, unbelievable, satanic doctrine you can think of, and by tomorrow night you will have the church packed out, literally packed out. You can tell them that there's three Hollywood starlets that got saved and they're appearing at the church tomorrow night, and you'll have that place so packed out you'll have to have six services. And then I know, because I was in one of these churches and all these women showed up, and I would say about 80% of them was hanging out of their dresses, because their dresses were cut as low as possible on top and as high as possible on the bottom. And then they're going to tell me they're all saved, and this is the way they dress in the house of God. And then, of course, the men that came in there, these Hollywood stars that were supposedly saved, they've got the top five buttons of their shirt undone. You know, they want you to see all four hairs on their chest. I guess that is supposed to make them look really holy. And people will pay for that, and I just could not believe the amount that they were making out those checks for. I just couldn't believe it. And for what? They had got absolutely nothing. They were fed nothing. They knew, in fact, they knew less when they left the place than when they came in. The darkness was literally starting to take them over. You're supposed to know more, not less. You're supposed to learn something. We're supposed to learn from the Word of God every time we go in. But the pastors no longer have the guts. They no longer have the intestinal fortitude to stand up and to talk about the goodness and the severity of the Word of God. I cannot remember the last time I have heard a sermon on hell. I cannot remember the last time I heard a sermon on greed, on covetousness, on adultery. I literally cannot remember it. But I can remember 100,000 services on tithes. And that's funny, because in 35 years that I've been in the ministry, I have searched from Genesis to Revelation, and then I have searched and searched and searched. And I have never, ever been able to find one single New Testament verse on tithing. It's not there. There is a scripture there where Jesus was living under the law. He came to fulfill it. Well, he was yet alive. He was living under it. Yet, while he was yet alive, he paid the tithe. And there is a scripture there where Paul talks about saving some up so when I come, none will have to be collected. But look at the next verse, the reason for it. That we can bring that money to the poor down in Jerusalem. The first time they take that offering, I'll be the first one in line to tithe. I'll be the first one in line to give to it. But I have never, in almost 35 years, seen that offering taken. And unfortunately, I get the feeling I'm never going to see it taken. We don't care about the poor. What we care about is that blacktop parking lot. What we care about is all those choir robes. What we care about is the insurance policy we got to carry out on the pastor. I'll tell you a new one. I know it's kind of off the wall and it's kind of strange and maybe nobody ever heard of it, but it might be worth a shot. Let's give a try at this. We could tell the pastor, we could kind of mention, do you think there's any chance you could just, you know, get a job, like go to work, you know, get paid at the end of the week? We have a ministry, not a church, and I will admit there is a difference, and we have 12 of us in the ministry, and I've been in the ministry for 35 years. We have never, in all those years, never asked anybody for a penny. I've never taken an offering. I've never asked anybody for any money. And I have never had a need. God has fulfilled every need we ever had in our life. And that is the goodness of God. God is good. You do the work of the Lord, God will take care of the rest of it. The Lord said, if we will seek the kingdom of God, all these other things will be given unto us. Let me give that to you in the translation. Correct translation is the expansion. If we will seek the expansion of the kingdom of God, in other words, evangelism, all, circle it, write it down, all these other things will be added to us. All things that we have in need of will be given to us. And then understand that there is a difference between need and greed. And if I don't get going, I'm going to miss the sermon that God gave me altogether here. But in James and in chapter 1, beginning at verse 21, and I haven't got a lot of time, so I want to go through this in a hurry. The Word of God said, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. I'd like to spend 10 hours on that scripture. In humility, receive the Word implanted in you, which is able to save your souls. Not once saved, always saved. This Word is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, not just hearers, for you delude yourself. You go to church on Sunday, you sit there for exactly 2 hours, not 1 minute longer, not 1 minute less. You're going to warm that pew for exactly 2 hours. You have to because you've got the roaster set, the oven set. You got to get home. The turkey or the chicken or whatever is just about ready. You got to get home and take care of it. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. And once he has looked at himself, he goes away and he has immediately forgotten what kind of a person he was. But one who intently looks at the perfect law, the law of liberty, we are set free from ties and all of the rest of it, and abides by it, not having come a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks to himself he is religious, and yet he does not bridle his own tongue. He does not watch what he says. He deceives his own heart. This man's religion is worthless. Remember that when you're in church next time, you hear that gossip and you hear the people talking, look at them and say to yourself, God, you're right. Their religion is absolutely worthless. And you know that God has spoken it. Now that's people to stay away from. Walk away from them. Don't even sit down and have supper with them. Stay away from them. Now if you would, I'd like you to turn back very quickly because I gotta get back to the story that I was gonna tell you, and that's back in Mark and in chapter 4. Now, I'm not going to have time to read all this, so I'm going to have to tell you. And you're going to have to take the time to read it. You're going to have to take the time to do a little bit of work and read the Word of God. But back in Mark in chapter 3, it talks about the sower of the Word of God. Mark 4 and 1, excuse me. And then read all the way down to verse 20. And what you're going to find there is that Jesus is talking about the sower, the man, it's called the parable of the sower, the man who goes out and does the sowing of the seed. And it's no different than as I watched a storm last night tear up these freshly planted seeds that had been planted outside. The garden 2 or 3 hours before had been beautiful beyond belief. Now, the color was torn apart, the flowers were torn apart, the blooms were off of some of them. And this morning when I got up, I went out and I looked in the garden to see how many were left. And there was probably 1 out of 10 that survived that storm last night. But you know what surprised me? They survived it in total strength. Their color was as good as it was yesterday. Their strength was the same as it was yesterday. When that persecution came up, when that storm came up, when all that trouble came up, they stood against that wind. They stood against that hail. They stood against that rain. And they made it throughout the night. And they were so beautiful this morning that everybody, I mean everybody in the block, everybody that walked by was looking at these flowers because of how beautiful they were. And that's exactly how it is with the Word of God. I don't care who you are. If you are a true believer in the Word of God, that trouble is going to come unto you. That day of persecution is going to come unto you. And that day is going to come very, very soon because, as I say, we're living in the last minute. That time is coming right now. Some of you, I am afraid, will not make it. I want to pray with you right now because our time is running out. Holy Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father God, I ask you to strengthen the people that are listening tonight. Strengthen each one of them that they may make it through the coming storms, Lord, and that they may be all that you have called them to be. Father, we receive it and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to join us again next week on Your Alarm Call. Remember, if you need to get a hold of us, you can do so on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. If you want to send us traditional mail, you can do so at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri. And the zip code is 65673. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. And we ask you to tell your friends, tell your pastor, and tune in again next week to Your Alarm Call.